The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children to come forward for a short message. Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. There was an uprising this week. Anger over leadership, protests over power. But I'm not speaking of what you think I'm speaking. It was in the Stadtmuller household. There was too much bickering. Ice cream, no. Dad had to flex his muscles. "No ice cream, you've been fighting too much." And from there, the power struggle escalated to almost a mob mentality. I share this because in the end, I won. But I didn't feel like I won. The power I held, I wasn't sure I wielded properly. I sought to be a good parent. I sought to do things right. And at the end, I wondered if I had done it properly. It made me think about parenting and how difficult it is. It made me think about parenting and a word that every parent longs for. You know what that word is? Normal. Yeah, you know it. We long for normal because routine is heavenly when raising children. We long for that. We laugh at it because we all know that normal is a totally fake word. Normal is in all of life relative and a relative reality. It's something that we create for ourselves. And though some of us thrive on the thought of being something other than normal, some of us like to think that, there's still for most of us a desire to at least have some idea of what to expect tomorrow. And actually, that's a really nice thing for your children to know too, right? It makes me think of another word, another one of those relative words, and it's this: progress. Again, we want it. All of us like the idea of progress. We've probably all said those words sometime. Well, we're making some progress, but it assumes something. And this is where we kind of get a little bit heady, so I hope I don't lose you here, but it assumes a linear reality. Something that we don't often find in life. See, progress, a linear reality, progress assumes that there is a destination to which we will reach and that we are getting closer to it is what progress means. It's normal progress in this linear worldview that I want to challenge here today. Because I think from a spiritual perspective, these things are less than helpful. I think that's why we have this church calendar that repeats this yearly cycle of Christ's life, death, and resurrection and repeats over and over again. This circular calendar that works like the rhythm of the seasons of the year. This circular calendar challenges us that live in a world that pushes us in straight line thinking. We have a world that says, find your goal and get there. But see, in Jesus, we've been set free from this perspective of life being so aligned in that order. In fact, if you think about all those stories of the people of God, Christ's life was spent telling his disciples and the poor and the rich and the Pharisees and the leaders of the world alike to stop in their religious understanding, in their faith views of making your faith about getting somewhere. Stop it. It's not about getting somewhere. Stop doing that and start looking at the neighbor next to you that is in need. In fact, Jesus frees us from focusing on that faraway thing, that faraway kingdom, and says, focus on the kingdom here. Let me focus on the kingdom to come. Which brings me to a side point, but maybe the most important one to hear for some of us. I know some people are worried about the world today. They're either happy with the vote and troubled by the struggles of the world since, or struggling with the vote and struggling with the powers that will be. Remember how you are feeling about the powers of this world. No matter how you are feeling, you are invited into a promise that transcends political boundaries. A promise that is more than this world's issues and leaders. And it's one that both humbles us when we are living high on the progress that we've made in this linear world that our kingdom so often celebrates. And another that challenges us to rise up against a world that continues to oppress the poor and the lame and those that have fallen away from that ability to keep going. You see, a linear perspective is kind of like the interstate. It's really nice if you're traveling a long distance. You can go a long way very quickly. But for too long, the people of God had that attitude about life, that it's about going a long way. Jesus reminded the people of God that our journey in life is set free from that. Set free. And so glory, riches, and power, yes, they can be achieved through a linear perspective. But faith, hope, and love, you know how those are achieved? They're on a journey that takes us down the same roads over and over again. They're on a journey of a familiar road, one that you can walk on. As we declare Christ as King, we are acknowledging that the powers of this world continue to sell a vision of a normal that is unobtainable, of a progress that will someday crumble away, like all of the treasures that we store up, of a power that continues to bring bickering at best and bloodshed at worst. Christ as King declares that the power of love overcomes the power of love. Power of love overcomes the love of power. I looked at the person who gave me that phrase. And Christ as King brings us to a world that is not progressing to a destination unknown. This place that we are progressing towards is already here. And so we throw that word away. It's a kingdom that through Jesus Christ we have caught a glimpse of and indeed is present. It's what Jesus has called us to live into. This kingdom of God, not that is far away, but that is right here amongst us. You see, we say you have been declared righteous for Christ's sake. This is not so you can walk a new road, but so that you can walk any road, old or new, with this promise that Christ is the one with the ultimate power. Christ, who invites others to join you in this journey to live in the world differently. In doing this, our power is transformed from being fixated on progress and normal to being fixated on helping our neighbor in whatever place they are. And in our struggles to utilize power for this purpose, we are invited in our families and our churches and our communities into a life of forgiveness, a life that looks to the side of the road, that looks to those who have fallen and says, come, come, let's try this. So in a linear world, today would be the end of the journey. We've achieved it. We've experienced the church and Christ's message. We have told the story throughout the church calendar that Christ is King. But as we declare this to be true, we return to the beginning of the story once again. Because our lives remain vulnerable, broken, and in need of a Savior that loves us. We see the gift and even the power of the cross. But in the vulnerability of our lives, we know we need to walk it again and again. And we seek to keep our eyes and our ears sharp to the ways God will use our gifts, both individually and collectively, for a tomorrow that is still unfolding in a promise that is already here. Amen.